Well, hi, everybody. This is number 76, Rays and Initiations webinar commentary. And for the evening, at least, I'm still on my trampoline. This is a part of a vertical alignment, I guess. We've been reading. We're up to page 591, I think. We've been reading about the qualities of the fifth ray. The energy, which we call concrete science, it's related to the substance of the mental plane, all three levels of it, lower four, middle two, and highest one. It's characterized by three qualities, which we call the abstract mind, the love wisdom mind, or son of wisdom, son of God, son of mind, and the concrete mind, as we've said. This means pure thought, the thinker or the son of mind on the second and third subplanes, and thought forms on the lower four subplanes. It is the thought form making energy. It is fundamentally the most potent energy at this time in the planet. Well, it's certainly the most potent energy for humanity as presently constituted on this planet, because humanity has a fifth-ray personality and a fourth-ray soul at this time, though it will one day have a second-ray soul and a fourth-ray personality. It's the energy which admits humanity, especially the trained disciple or initiate, into the mysteries of the mind of God. We remember that those mysteries are really one day on the cosmic plane. Somehow the Buddha, that great being, he took an initiation, the sixth initiation, which connected him with the mind of our planetary logos, and even perhaps the mind of our solar logos found on the cosmic mental plane. It is substantial. It's the substantial key to the universal mind, because it is a ray which leads to concretion. It is profoundly susceptible to the energy of love wisdom, which reminds us that the solar angels, who are members of the fifth creative hierarchy, are largely as well distributing the energy of buddhi, the second or love wisdom energy. It's related to the three buddhas of activity, even though they are on the first, second, and third rays. In some way, as planetary logoi of a previous relatively concrete system, they are connected with the fifth ray. So they must have done a lot of work upon that fifth ray. And when it's the mental energy of the human being, it's limited. And it is considered to be at first a major limitation for the human being, because the human being gets stuck in concretion and cannot make that bridge into the son of mind or into the abstract mind. But eventually that is done, and the dotted another line is crossed onto the buddhic plane, or at least onto the highest level of the mental plane, where the pure thought or abstract mind is found. I think that probably Einstein did a lot of work in that area, as fed by the intuition. And so many of us, we have to learn what is the meaning of buddhi manas. So that was number nine. Let's see how far we got. And here we are. We're starting with number 10. I thought I could finish in the last program, but no, it does go on with further elaborations on the fifth ray, and it certainly is a very good section to understand the fifth ray. Okay, let's move along then. The quality of this energy of concrete knowledge or science is twofold. A, it is extraordinarily responsive to impressions coming from some source or other, and in general, let's say from below and from above. It is rapidly thrown into forms in response to impression. We do have to remember, remember that it is gaseous in an occult sense. Okay, so responsiveness, that's one. Okay, let's say responsiveness to impressions, that's one. And rapidly thrown into forms in response. Okay, so, you know, our concrete mind is filled with concrete forms, and some of them are useful and others of them are not, and are a major cause of illusion, of misinterpretation, etc. All right, let's move on. Number 11, the impressions received come from three sources and are sequentially related, revealed to man, and these three are. Okay, impressions from the three worlds. These come, first of all, from the individual, and secondly, from the levels of planetary consciousness, we might say planetary mind. So, from below, impressions from the soul, the sun of mind upon the level of mentality itself. This is all part of the white magical process. So let's, that's one that we should throw in there, WML, and we'll call it white magical, and we'll call WM, you guessed it, WM is white magic. All right. There we go. And also impressions from the spiritual triad via the Antikorana. These come when the Antikorana is constructed or in process of construction. These kinds of impressions are related to the higher expression as far as man is concerned, of Mercury. Okay. So, three levels. Impressions come from three sources: concrete mind, soul, or sun of mind, bearing the unitive quality, and then from the area of pure thought, and even from the transcendental mind of Buddhi, and even from the will. So let's just say from the realm of abstract mind or pure thought, from the transcendental mind of Buddhi, and from the realm of mind, which is Atma. Okay. So, you know, it's good to know that we can receive impressions from any of those sources. And sometime we should assess the contents of our concrete mind and see, after all, what is running around there, what quality of thought, what elevation of thought has made the impression which has created the form. All right. All of this is taking stock of the mental thought forms which we have. They're not all the same. They don't all have the same source. And of course, you know, we need all of them for different kinds of activities, but we should know which are which. All right, more. This energy is essentially the light bearer. Remember what I said? Well, first of all, let's just highlight that idea. The Ray Lord on the fifth ray, as far as our planet is concerned, and maybe as far as the solar system is concerned, this Ray Lord, is the most luminescent of the Ray Lords. It responds, again, sequentially in time and space to the light of the Logos eventually. It is for this reason that the mind is regarded as both illumined when higher contacts are present and as an illuminator where the lower planes are concerned. So let's say the light of Venus, the light of the soul, illuminate the lower mind and allow it to carry to others that light. And we can all ask ourselves, you know, here we are working with Master DK, to what extent are we an illuminator? Do we help to throw light upon the path of others? Do they see their way more clearly? Remember, we must all revolve upon the pedestal of light, and then the seven points of light within us transmit the outward streaming radiance, and then the face of those upon the darkened way receives that light, and lo, the face of those upon the darkened way receives that light. For them, the way is not so dark. So we do have to be light bearers, especially if we're working in connection with the second ray. And, you know, if for any length of time we really work with Master DK, either our soul or our monad is going to be on the second ray. We may respect and love a great masters whose rays are different from us, but in terms of working ashramically with them, we have to have at least some similarity of soul ray or monadic ray. Even though Master Moria said, I do not see any who may not approach. Well, all may approach. It's just a question of the depth of working. We can be definitely inspired by many different masters, but in terms of our real ashramic work, there has to be some ray similarity on the level of soul or personality. Number 13. This energy is, from the human standpoint, awakened and brought into activity through the action of the five senses. There's the number five. There's Mars. Let's just say Mars and the five senses, which are the conveyors of information from the three worlds on the mental plane. So let's just say over man's period of history, it is the senses, the five of them, which have awakened the concrete mind. And you will see, you know, with these people, it's interesting. Sometimes even the area of the head over the perceptual region or the perceptual region is quite prominent, as they are the close sensory observers through the eye. And from what they observe, the content of the mind grows. They're not necessarily off in the abstract levels looking at philosophy and things in general. They are looking at things in particular. So it might be said that five streams of informative energy, therefore, make their impact upon the concrete mind and emanate from the physical astral plane. And let's just say, remember that there are astral senses. So, you know, it is not that the fifth ray can study only the dense physical plane or the etheric plane, ETP. And let's look at DPP. Okay, DPP. We'll call that the dense physical plane. Okay. Of course, you know, as far as our planetary logos goes, the lower 18 subplanes are his, the dense physical body. Probably the 21 lower subplanes are the dense physical body of the solar logos. That whole, it leaves a degree of ambiguity concerning the higher three subplanes of the mental plane. Are they etheric in a higher sense. Well, even if they were, they could still be part of the dense physical body of the solar logos. Whether they are part of the dense physical body of the planetary logos is still an ambiguous question. Three streams of energy coming from the soul also make an impression upon the concrete mind. Well, you know, there are in the soul, well, in the soul, what should we say, in the egoic lotus, oh, come on now, in the egoic lotus, there is the energy of the jewel in the lotus, and of the 12 petals, and of the atomic triangle. So those are three, possible three, but let's see what else he says. One stream of energy during the initiatory process contacts the mind. This comes from the spiritual triad and utilizes the Anta Karana. Is this stream only that of the abstract mind, or are other layers of the spiritual triad involved? And I already said how, you know, transcendental mind might be involved. That's called the buddhi, and that's related to a higher Mercury. And this mind of law, the nirvanic mind, the truly spiritual mind of the atmic plane, the mind of will, that also, of which the Buddha was a great exponent, that might also contact the concrete mind. So we have had here then the idea that the senses are very important. And, you know, when you study here, let's see if I can, I think what I have to do is, yes, File Explorer. And where would this be? Here? Yep. And there, and AAB diagrams. And, you know, when we study these pictures, and we see that, as I say, this is a diagram which Keith Bailey put together helping us here. All of these are senses. Every one of these written descriptions, you know, higher clairaudience, planetary psychometry, higher clairvoyance, discrimination, and then on the higher mental plane, spiritual discernment, group vibration, telepathy, all of these are higher correspondences to the senses. And if you, you know, even the ones on the atmic plane, the buddhic plane, if you want more of that, you know, go to page 188 of a treatise on cosmic fire. But the fifth ray is involved in all sensory apprehension. So the fifth ray is, in a sense, involved all the way up here in its higher expression. When we talk about, you know, realization on the fifth level of the atmic plane, the ray five in its higher expression is involved. So all of these as senses are under ray five, though they have other rulerships according to their subplane in general. And remember, the atmic plane is the fifth plane from below. All right, where are we? All right. So five senses, okay. So we remember that there are five streams of informative energy making their impact, and those are from the lower three worlds. And then the three streams from the soul. Well, I don't know how DK is counting these, but as stated, there's the jewel in the lotus, there's the energy of the petals, and there's the energy of the atomic triangle, the physical permanent atom, astral permanent atom, and mental unit. So they also are embodied within the soul, interestingly enough. But maybe he's just talking about the three tiers of petals in the ninefold series of petals, and that would be then the sacrifice petal energy, the love petal energy, and the knowledge petal energy. That would make a three as well. So, but maybe he speaks of the three tiers of petals within the nine. And SACPTLS, sacrifice petals, love petals, and knowledge petals. Maybe. And then, of course, the stream of energy from the spiritual triad. Is it only the abstract mind or are other aspects of the triad involved? And I would suggest that at a certain point in the construction of the Antikorana, I would suggest that when the Antikorana is well constructed, higher levels of the spiritual triad can come forth and impress the concrete mind. Okay, now going on. Oh, this is quite a list of factors involved with the fifth ray. The energy of this fifth ray might be regarded as the common sense. You know, it kind of synthesizes the five senses. So it is the true sixth sense, not in the sense of intuition. Intuition is really the seventh, because it receives all these impacts of varying energies, synthesizing them and producing order out of the many and ceaseless impacts and interprets them, thus creating the multiplicity of forms to which we give the name the world of thought. So there are, according to the Tibetan, 9 streams of energy, which the lower concrete mind, lower mind synthesizes. So the five from below, the three from the soul, that's eight, and the one stream from the spiritual triad. And maybe 9, 10, 11, well, when more distinct energies come from the atmic level and from the Buddhic level, that would make 11. So if streams come from the atmic plane, or from the Buddhic plane and the atmic plane, that makes 11. And add the energy of the monad, and you get 12. But if the three of the monad are counted, then you get 14. It's also a very important number in occultism, especially in Egyptian occultism. And when you're dealing with the seven rishis and the seven stars of the little bear, 14 becomes very important. You know, we have to learn how to get from 10 to 12, and then from 12 to 14. It's always by triplicating the last item and making a 3 out of a 1. Okay. Are there more? Oh, my goodness, there are more. This energy transforms the divine ideas into human ideals. And we say, ideals are more concrete than ideas. Relating the knowledges and sciences of humanity to these ideals, thus making them workable factors in human evolution, its culture, and civilization. So the ideals, let's just say, are embodied. Ideals are embodied in forms which relate to, let's just say, human knowledge and sciences. So the fifth ray is a precipitating energy. One of the, not so happy consequences of it, according to Master DK, is that it's responsible for the overabundance of things which clutter our world. You know, people think they need so many concretions, and there's a little widget and a gizmo and a, all kinds of contraptions that are made due to the fifth ray, and so much of it is unnecessary clutter, you know, and that's where you can really suffocate in all the clutter, and where the mental atmosphere becomes poisonous through excessive clouds of concretized precipitations. So anyway, we have to have a balance in all of that, but as long as the fifth ray is the most important ray at this time on our planet, most prominent in a way, and certainly in a way the most prominent in humanity, well, it's not going to be an immediate transformation. Well, okay, he's given us 15. Now, this is kind of interesting because, well, let's see, how do we get to that, to the 15? The monad is, gives us the 14. Is that correct? Let's see, we have the 8, we have the 5, we have the 3, we have the 1, that's 9. And then, that's 9, and then we go to an 11, but we add the monad, that's 12, but if we add the 3 of the monad, that's 14, and I suppose, you know, if we add the very essence of the monad, we reach 15, which is a Kumaric number. Number 15 is a Kumaric number. Okay. NMB. Okay, or NR? No, that's NR, please. Okay, maybe not. I'll do it that way. NR is number. So why did he stop at 15? You know, there are all these hints that Master DK doesn't, of course, tell us about. We have to recognize them, and so frequently they have to do with how he lists things and the number of items in a list. And the number 15 is also interestingly related to the sixth ray, 1550, 1500, 15,000, so forth, according to the rayologist Stephen Pugh. And I think he has something there. I think he's correct. But there is much more, the Tibetan says, that I could add. But the above gives you a series of simple definition of value as you study the mental unfoldment of the disciple, as he undergoes the initiatory process, which is our theme at this time, and let's just say, remember how closely related the fifth ray is to the initiatory process. So, you know, and we can apply whatever was said here in a way to the larger picture of humanity. So, you know, review those excuse me, 15 points, and we're going to find out a lot about the fifth ray. You know, sometimes in certain sections of the books, he just makes these great lists, and, you know, you got to know where they are. Sometimes in the footnotes of Cosmic Fire is everything you can say about 4, everything you can say about 10. Also, everything you can say about 5. Well, not everything, but a lot. So if you know where they are, they've been collected for us. And of course, correlation is one of our main jobs, and we work a lot under Mercury, and Master DK is sometimes called Mercury in a way, and probably, you know, given that all monads come from one of the sacred planets before they reach the Earth, he probably is a Mercurian monad. And so there's so much about correlating, relating, and making an articulated diversity of related things into a wholeness that Mercury can do. It does it especially via the pure reason or the intuition on the Buddhic plane. So he's given us a bunch of simple definitions, he says, and there's always much more that he could add, of course. But the simple definitions are sometimes very, very useful. We do have to remember that he has said that he's given us more than we can ever absorb, and that is utterly the truth. But, you know, the more we steep ourselves in what he has said, the more we will absorb and unify and synthesize and be able to relate to our experience. He goes on, it also throws light upon the ray effects upon humanity as a whole. You know, that's what I was saying. You know, take these 15 points, and apply to the human race. This ray energy is indeed sadly concrete in its expression in our Aryan race. You know, it doesn't have to be, of course. It can be raised up onto cosmic mental levels. However, you know, that's, we are where we are. A race, however, which will see more people take initiation than ever before in human history, and which will, in a peculiar sense, see the descent of the kingdom of God to earth, the kingdom of souls, at least partially, as a result of the ascent of so many upon the ladder of evolution. So this is what we call here the prognostication of initiatory possibilities for the Aryan race. So, and more people will take initiation, and the second coming of the Christ will, of course, help with increase the numbers of initiates. So here it is sadly concrete, however, it's a race which will see more people, our Aryan race, will see more people take initiation than ever before in human history. We have to have the groups begin to take initiation and groups being formed out of those who are initiates if the time-space schedule of the planetary logos is to be completed in time and as he intends. Now, we, you know, what does that really mean to us? We don't know what his schedule is. We have been told, however, the group initiation, remember Aquarius, the group sign, Aquarius bringing a very powerful fifth ray into expression. It will be the major distributor of the fifth ray before long, that this fifth ray has many powerful supports during the age of Aquarius, and since the fifth ray gives what is called power to take initiation, we can see why so many will take initiation during this age, and may we be among them, whatever initiation it is that looms before us. Just as the disciple or the initiate is a soul-infused personality, so will humanity upon the physical plane be also soul-infused, and I would say this, you know, I just took a picture. I don't want that. Oh, no. where am I? Wait a second. Okay, it wasn't as bad. It wasn't as bad as I thought. Just as the disciple or the initiate is a soul-infused personality, so will humanity be upon the physical plane, be also soul-infused. And what I was trying to say is, at least partially, not entirely. We've been told that, you know, some of humanity will not even be achieving until the next round. And though those are not necessarily people who are in any kind of retardation, they're simply the latest of those individualized on the moon chain, may not be taking initiation to the next round. And the same is certainly true for a lot of Earth humanity, even though some of them are already members of the hierarchy. So the question of timing is very, very individual, and it has to do with the degree and accuracy of our vision and our assertion, responding to the assertion of the soul. Thus precipitating the kingdom of God, it's coming, as humanity takes the first initiation, and giving birth to a new kingdom in nature. A new kingdom. Well, what is that going to be? In a way, the kingdom of souls, Okay, Kingdom of Souls. I should have that. So, KOS, and we should have that. Surprised it isn't there. But, you know, it already exists. And there are some representatives of it. Exists, but not in great scope, as will be the case in the relatively near future. This great spiritual descent. Okay. Precipitating the kingdom of God. So that's the precipitation. The great spiritual descent. So the red bracket, please. Great spiritual descent. The precipitation of the kingdom of souls will be prefaced, if I may use such a word, by the appearance of the Christ among the peoples of the world and by a stupendous inflow of love, wisdom, you know, bringing in the planetary soul and the hierarchy and the great Lord of love. And so even though, you know, the second race cycle lasts only 500 years, I don't know when it comes in again, but it lasts 500 years until 2075, having begun in 1575, even though that is the case, the reappearing Christ and the efforts of the second ray spirit of peace and the emergence of the planetary soul and the work of Libra, which has a lot of second ray in addition to its third ray, the work of Libra in the planetary horoscope, all of this gives us a very strong presence of the great second ray, which would be needed if, let's just say, there's to be a stupendous inflow of love, wisdom. Well, you know, energy can enter in various ways, and even though the ray cycle, see, some believe, and I think there's basis for it, that the ray is in incarnation for an equal amount of time, that it is out of incarnation. So we might have to wait like another 500 years for that precipitation to occur. But okay, all of this has yet to be decided or ascertained. Some feel they have ascertained it, and they may be correct. There is a tendency in the minds of esotericists always to refer to the great lines of force, 1, 3, 5, 7, and 2, 4, 6. And here's where he tells us about another line of force. I would have you remember with still greater emphasis the relation of ray 2 to ray 5 and of the second plane, the monadic plane, and the fifth plane, the mental plane. Well, you know, now, let's just say we know the monadic ray influences the mind and the ray of the mind. That's going to be a coloration. If there is a, if you have a second ray monad, then eventually some of that second ray is going to be influencing the way in which you think. It is the relation of these major energies which makes the initiation of transfiguration possible. Let's just say the supernal light from the monadic plane. Let's just try the weather N, does it? No. So let's do this. And monadic MDCP, monadic plane. So it is here, this the supernal light from the monadic plane is found in some measure at the third initiation, the transfiguration. So rays 2 and 5 are involved phrase 2 and 5 are involved in the transfiguration, because the third initiation is the first solar initiation, and we recognize that our solar logos is a great god of love with its second ray soul, its presently second ray personality. And although, as some hypothesized, that it might have a fourth ray monad, eventually all monads have to resolve upon the first, second, or third ray, and I believe it will be the second ray. So our solar logos is a great heart center of a cosmic logos. Will have what we call a second ray monad. So we have been given some wonderful information, and the fifth ray being so important in the age of Aquarius, so important to the whole initiatory process, we really have to learn about its higher reaches. And I want to say that if you want to know or see the relationship of the fifth ray to the second, just go into Esoteric Psychology, Volume 2, Volume 1, and somewhere in there around the, I'm just going to make a guess here, on page, well, didn't do badly, the fifth purpose of deity, at least in our planet. And here are the questions. Look at this. God and his angels now arise. It talks about the planetary logos and the angels, the solar angels, and how it is that love is involved in all of these experiences. I think right here in the major paragraph about it, it ends that way. If I can just find it. Here it is. That which comes is on its, that which is on its way comes as a cloud which veils the sun. But, you know, as the fifth ray thought forms can, but hid behind this cloud of imminence is love, and on the earth is love, and in the heaven is love, and this the love which maketh all things new must stand revealed. This is the purpose back of all the acts of this great Lord of Knowledge. So a very convincing relationship between the great fifth ray Lord and the second ray Lord. Just to point that out, on page 75 of Esoteric Psychology, Volume 1. Okay, but moving along here, he's asked us to think of rays 2 and 5 together. And we have justified that and seen why it must occur. They are the two most luminous rays, one in general, the fifth ray, and one for the human souls, the second ray. And then the Tibetan asks, what is the effect of this ray upon humanity as a whole and at this time? Okay, the effect of these influences is very great and of supreme importance in the fifth root ray. See, this is the numerical resonance. Okay, there we go again. I've got to get my red bracket. The transcribers don't have to say what I say here. Okay, so by numerical resonance, there is a reinforcement of the fifth ray in the Aryan race. Okay, and in the second solar system, well, there we go. There's the five of our race, the general five of the human race. In other words, we're in the fifth root race, but the kingdom of humanity has a fifth ray personality, and We're in a second ray solar system. There's the 5 and 2 together. Again, you can see the clarity of the correspondences which are emerging, and I would have you note them again. So, ray 2, the ray of love, wisdom, and ray 5, the ray of knowledge or science, wedded under many circumstances. Okay. The second plane, the monadic plane, and the fifth plane, the mental plane. Another 2 and 5. And we remember that the monad particularly influences the mind and the mental ray. So, you know, your mind will always have the coloring at a certain point of evolution of the monadic ray. And, you know, we can't push the emergence of that, but there will come a time, especially, I suppose, after the third initiation and maybe in the approach to the third initiation, when the monadic ray, which can be studied between the second and third initiation, will be showing itself in the mind. The second solar system of love and the fifth root race, the Aryan race of active intelligence. Now, here we, here we also see the influence of the third ray, along with the fifth. Well, you know, counting from below, you reach the number 3, it's 5. Counting from above, and you come down to the third subplane, it's 5. So these two rays are closely related, as DK tells us in Esoteric Psychology, Volume 1, right around page, 202 or so. And, let's see, Esoteric Psychology, Volume 1. It's going to be a bit later than that. It's going to be after the whole thing is over, and then maybe more like page 212. Okay, between the third and the fifth ray rays, there is a close relationship. In the search after knowledge, for example, the most laborious and minute study of detail is the path that will be followed, whether in philosophy, the higher mathematics, or in the pursuit of practical science. So he includes both rays there and shows us the relationship between the two. He sums things up nicely after giving us what I think is a very fine introduction for people, for all of us really, but especially for people that are new to this, a fine introduction on the basic application of the seven rays. Okay, then, in all these, so the 2 and the 5, let's see, the 2 and the 5 and their relationship are well established. ESTBD. All right. ESTBD. ESTB. Let's call that establish. Establish. And if we add a D, we'll get established, right? ESTBD. Established. ESTABLISHED. All right. So, in all these basic relationships, that which is the fifth in order is destined to be the instrument, the vehicle, or the implementing factor for the second. And this is, tells us the modus operandi of the solar angels. The 2 and the 5, the buddhi and the mind, buddhi manas. The universal mind, as it works through all the planes of our conscious planetary life, is the creative agent and the form-building factor that makes the revelation of love possible. And I would say all the way from the lower four subplanes of the cosmic mental plane. And then it comes down and, you know, by various means, it touches all those points resonant to it until it finally reaches our fifth plane, which is, you know, called our systemic mental plane. Today, in our Aryan race, age and race, we see the vital expression of this fifth ray energy. When I use the word race, he has to be so careful here because, you know, humanity just emerged from the, or was emerging from the Second World War, in which the German nation really prostituted that term to a lower ideal, that of blood and soil and so forth, nationalism and racism and all that. When I use the word race, I deal not with man-made or pseudoscientific differentiations of nations or races or types. Let's just say that this is what the Nazis specialized in, pseudo-science, to justify their lethal policies towards, I'll put it in paren, lesser races. Yes, so, you know, a lot of research went into that and a lot of falsification. So he's not dealing with those various ways of proving the supremacy of the fifth sub-race over all other races and sub-races. He says, instead, I deal with the state of consciousness, which is the Aryan or mental consciousness or state of thinking. This finds its exponents and its race members in every nation without any distinction or omissions. This is a very important statement. And, you know, sometimes there are groups who feel that DK was too light on Germany and too hard on the Jewish group and so forth. Something here will tell everyone that when DK talks about the Aryan race, he means the Aryan state of consciousness, which people in any form, you know, whether it's a fourth root race body from the seventh sub-race of that, you know, race, even a third root race body, all the different races and sub-races have individuals who are demonstrating the Aryan consciousness. So this I would have you carefully remember, he says, for there is no new race in process of appearing from the territorial angle. It's all consciousness. This is only a general distribution of those persons who have what have been called, there is only a general distribution of those persons who have what has been called the sixth root race characteristics, or certainly six sub-race characteristics of the fifth root race. Remember that the sixth sub-race of the fifth root race develops the abstract mind, whereas the sixth root race, per se, when it does appear, and it will not be too long from now, and will last for 10 million years, develops the intuition. So there's no new external physical race appearing. All of this is in consciousness. And matter of fact, he tells us that sometime in the sixth root race, humanity is going to become quite uniform. And am I making it up by thinking that he talks about a golden brown or a golden type of color? I can't remember exactly. But the uniformity of the human outer form will be caused by, over millions of years, by the various kinds of migrations and amalgamations and so forth. Obviously, the outer form is not where attention is supposed to be placed. I want to make this big, too, so we really, really realize where the Tibetan stands on this and how falsely he is accused by some who are rather ignorant of his work. I deal with the state of consciousness, which is Aryan, or mental consciousness, or state of thinking. This finds its exponents and its, quote, race members in every nation without any distinction or omissions. And maybe he even would mean, you know, we've had so many new countries that have come into the United Nations, maybe 200 or so, and many more than were existent at the time that Master Dikei was writing this. And I think he would even say now, without any distinction or omission. You cannot have the formulation of a country without at least some of the people having the Aryan consciousness, which is the mental, perceptive, planning, cognitive consciousness. It's needed. So all this I would have you carefully remember, for there is no new race in process of appearing from the territorial angle, but the six root race characteristics, well, you know, Leadbeater, I think, had said Australia, New Zealand, America. He named those, but I see that also in Europe. Probably where does this distribution extend? All countries? I don't know. Maybe Australia, New Zealand, the Americas, including Canada, and of course, you know, really, even though Europe is so five of five, also in Europe, and I just want to say, and in many other countries, six root race, which will be an intuitive approach, and on the way to that, the use of the abstract mind, which is called pure thought. Remember, the abstract mind is called earlier pure thought, and it's unpolluted by the necessity of having to deal with concretions. This state of consciousness will find its expression in people as far apart racially as the Japanese and the American or the Negro and the Russian. So this Aryan consciousness is global. It posits an ability to function with clarity about the mental plane, to collate information, rightly to interpret and relate that information, and also to create the needed thought forms or concepts for those interpretations. Well, this is another great sentence, and one we have to remember about, really, you know, let's just say that this is an excellent definition of Aryan consciousness. You know, he's so clear, excellent definition of Aryan consciousness. Reading again, the ability to function with clarity upon the mental plane, which means that there's been a divorce from what we normally call kama manas, and which characterizes the thinking of so many, emotion and mind intermixed in a way that's hard to discriminate, to collate information, gather it all together, rightly to interpret and relate that information, which means that illusion is fading, although will not really fade until after the third degree, and to create the needed thought forms or concepts for those interpretations. Mental clarity, clarity of mind. So, okay, I think such interesting information. These thought forms fall into three major fields of thought or thought form areas of consciousness, science, philosophy, and psychology. But rather than get into that, I think it's wisest to end raise an initiation webinar commentary, number 76, and our day is still the 25th of February, 17. And our page, we started at 591. Do I remember that correctly? I hope so. I'm always forgetting. And ending up on page 594. All right. 594, and we will be beginning Raise the Initiation Webinar Commentary number 77, and it won't be today unless I stay up in the wee hours of morning, and even that's not today, from pages 594 to something. We'll see how far we get. Usually two or three pages is about what we can do. You know, basically, you know what I'm trying to do here. What I'm doing here is no substitute for reading the Tibetan's books in a continuous manner as he wrote them. But then, as if in a study group, people were getting together and we wanted to expand our sense of relations of the things that are written to other items of information and other groupings of thought, then what I'm doing here may be useful to you, and hopefully it will enlarge the picture and demonstrate the relation, show the relations. Not all of them are necessarily correct in what I say, but it will give you my idea of how things are related to each other and how what is said is related to other sayings and writings in Master DK's work. Okay, friends, thank you. And I hope that my vertical up and down here on this trampoline is not making you dizzy. Doesn't seem to be making me dizzy, and certainly make sure I get in the right number of steps or bounces a day to keep going, just to keep going. Okay, friends, lots of love. We'll see you later, and that's it for the moment.